Hello, Bob.
Hi, Lauren.
I'm really excited to talk about today's subject. You know why?
Why?
Because it's something that everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
It's with you always.
Oh.
Some people may say that they're even addicted to it.
Really?
And I'm trying to think what other descriptors I could do. It's tracking you and everything that you do and everywhere that you go.
It's probably really dirty.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of germs on it.
What are we talking about?
Smartphones.
Oh, yes. These things, these smartphones.
Which is, you actually came up with this topic, and I was like, that's a good one. We're going to do that now because, yeah, we both have a lot to say on this topic.
I think we do.
I don't know if we have differing opinions, but that's what this podcast is all about, finding out what we actually disagree on.
I think we...
It's not too many. I mean...
Differ on some things, but are probably in agreement on most of the...
Yeah.
Things about phones.
And while trying to figure out the talking points for this one, I thought it would be best to do like the good first.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of what we usually do, though.
Yeah, that's true. No, sometimes we dive into the scary things, but I'm going to try and keep us on topic today and try to not dive into the scary stuff immediately because I feel like we've been doing that a lot.
When did you get your first smartphone? Or sorry, when did you get your first cellular
telephone?
Ooh,
that's a good one. I didn't even have that in the talking point.
When did you get your first phone?
So my first phone.
Cellular telephone.
I think I was.
Mobile phone.
I think it was like my last, year of middle school.
Yeah.
So I think that was when my mom thought I was going to high school, I should have a phone because I have after school activities or if something ever happens, she wants me to contact her. But that was very different back in the day because back in They weren't smartphones. I think I got the first color phone.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
I had the Nokia one, the like classic.
I never had that.
That was my first phone. I think it was around 13.
The one that had Snake on it?
Yeah, you could play Snake, you could text, and you could call.
You could text on those?
You could SMS text.
Used to have to pay per text.
Yep.
So I remember I had a certain amount of texts that I could only use. So I'd try to use them sparingly.
What was that?
And it would take you so long.
What was it called? What was that?
It's like ABC.
Yeah.
You had to like.
Press the.
So like the first button, you had to press three times if you wanted C. So each button had. I like that we're describing this to the younger viewers that probably have never.
What's a button?
You had to press the. Yeah. If you wanted like B, you'd have to press the first key twice.
Yeah.
It would say it, have it written on it. And then eventually you would get, I think,
got really good.
Really good at it.
One thing that was good is you could like text without looking because you could, if you remember.
Yeah, there was also autocorrect still at that point. So I remember like starting to do it and the phone would kind of,
like autofill?
Yes. So that you didn't have to
fill it out.
That was my first one. I think it was the first color phone. It also took photos. Which
definitely didn't have that at first.
I still have some on my like old hard drive. They're very small. So you can't see like you can see like the pixely image of what I was trying.
I think I actually have. Oh, it's over there. I'm gonna go grab it. This was my favorite. Sorry for the listeners, but it is
it's just a flip phone.
It's just a small Samsung
flip phone with an antenna.
That if you want to look at size comparison for you viewers there.
You are so bad at podcasts.
Quite small.
You do lots of visual
things. Well, it's...
Coming from somebody who actually's career is doing visual.
It barely... I guess it does go. But yeah, this was it. This was awesome. I love this phone. I still have it. My first phone that I had, I broke it.
How? Those were indestructible.
I jumped into the lake with it.
I said the Nokias were like known for being... indestructible. I think one guy hit with like an atomic. It was like
that was the
during
Game
the
Boy.
Atomic blast.
That was the Game Boy.
No, I thought there was a phone too that made it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, I know there was a Game Boy too.
They couldn't sustain water damage, and I remember trying to put it in a bag of rice, and that didn't work. And I told my parents that my friend pushed me in the lake.
Good job.
But I jumped in with it.
Are you telling? Is this
they
the
know.
First time?
No, they know. They know.
Yeah, I had that, the flip phone, for a while. And then
it's
I remember...
It's so nice. It's just fun to flip them.
Then like the razors, that was like the big thing. I never got one of those either because I had gotten the other one and then razors came out right after.
Yeah, I had a different one that was similar to it.
The razors were cool. That was like the iPhone of the day. Yeah. Back in the day.
Where those droids were like droid.
Yeah. So then my first like favorite phone was the droid. It was like the droid Envy. And it was the first time you could flip it like landscape mode and have a full keyboard. So you didn't have to.
I had one of those phones that had the landscape keyboard. That one was really nice.
And then, I got my first iPhone.
I had a smartphone before and I had the Palm Pre.
I wanted one of those so bad.
I had it.
Oh no, wait, not the Palm. I wanted the Sidekick.
Oh, the Sidekick?
Flipped up.
Yeah, no.
Like I wanted one so bad.
Well, it was a smartphone. It had the screen and everything.
Do you remember back in the day you could only get certain phones on certain providers? Yeah. So like the iPhone you could only get if you were an AT&T customer.
Yeah, I think and the Samsung was with Verizon. And T-Mobile had the
Sidekick.
I love this little phone.
That's crazy. I wonder when that stopped. Like, was it just contracts ended and then...
I don't know. Taking out the battery of it. You still have to have batteries in phones. Oh, man. How far we've come. Now we can charge with magnets.
That was the...
Magnet charging.
That was the start of my phone journey. Yeah. Was a regular phone.
So when did you get your first iPhone, smartphone? How old were you? College?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because I had a droid. I had an Android.
I was out of college when I got my first
iPhone.
Wow. So think of that. I was a young adult when I got my first smartphone. And now kids get these things when they're kids.
Yeah.
Little kids.
Yeah.
Let's not dive into the badness of it.
Yeah. I was going to say, stop. This is your fault. You always go into the bad.
I'm negative. You're pessimistic.
I'm trying to focus on the good.
I am going to go good. First. It just blows my mind that I was a young adult when I got my first smartphone.
So it's interesting. So our generation like grew up with the evolution of phones. Like exactly. We evolved with the phones.
Yeah, we went from nothing to bricks to flip phones to the invention of smartphones with styluses.
And for anybody who doesn't know like what our generation I'm referring to is we're millennial. Yes.
I think we're millennials.
Yeah, we're millennial. Like toward the end of the millennial.
I was born in 87. You were born in 89. So.
Yeah.
Do the math.
We're old.
We're getting there.
I like the millennial generation, though.
I think we're the best.
Like we went, every generation thinks they're the best.
I think we're good.
We went through a lot of stuff.
I think
we grew up with technology. We shaped technology.
I think our generation is good because of that. We grew up with the phone as the phone advanced. So we kind of have some perspective of what life was like without it.
Yeah, we're the last generation to grow up.
Yeah.
Without it.
Without phones.
Without. Like with it, but not to the extent that it is now.
Now everyone's got them. They're great. I love my phone. I'm on it all the time. I have hours of screen time a day.
I checked my... Well, wait till we get into
that.
My screen time this morning because in my head I was like, I've definitely been not... And I'll go into that later, but I've been making sure I haven't been on my phone.
Does it count when you like watch... If I put a YouTube video on, that counts?
I would say no. We'll go into that.
Okay.
I have that in mind.
Okay. Okay.
Let's do the good first because that's part of my bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So the good parts, I have a job because of it. Now, to specify, YouTube was around before smartphones were a big thing because it began in like 2000 and like phones were just starting to evolve.
When did YouTube come out? 2006? Why don't
no,
I don't know.
2004.
Yeah.
I think sounds 2004. About right. I started in 2006 or 7.
Gotcha.
Like, I started using YouTube back then. I wasn't like a creator, but YouTube was a thing on your computer. Like you didn't really watch it on your phone.
Yeah.
I think because of phones, it became so like the majority of my views come from mobile because you can see where people watch. Like the vast majority of my views come from mobile.
Interesting.
Then second is, I think they tablets. Even break it to tablet.
Yeah.
So it's like mobiles first, then tablet, then computer, then TV. But TV's growing, surprisingly.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is kind of cool. We watch.
Well, it's probably because so many more TVs have the app built in.
Yeah.
And you can stream it so easily.
Also, well, because YouTube is what such.
What
is
it? So wait. You probably don't know this, but if I stream it from my phone to the TV, what does that count as? The phone?
The phone.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's interesting. I was telling Bobby when I went to the YouTube summit, they gave a statistic that was like, I think 60 to 70, don't quote me on the actual statistics, because it was a really high number of people say that they watch videos that like nobody else that they know watch that creator, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think, cause they also pointed out that the TV viewing of YouTube is going up. It seems like people are wanting to like share creators with one another, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, we've put like my mom and parents on the stuff. Like,
oh yeah, we always watch. We're like, you should watch this video on YouTube or this creator. And then we'll put it on the TV because it's easier to share content with people.
Yeah, of course.
But anyway, I digress. Because of mobile phones, YouTube definitely grew to be what it is now.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you could watch it anywhere.
I will say, so when we did first get our smartphones, when we were in our first jobs, they were great to have because we both were working in entertainment industry and we were like production assistants and stuff like that, interns. So being able to have essentially a computer in your hands when you're out doing stuff was great. Being able to look stuff up, easily contact, call, email, all that stuff. So it definitely made our jobs a lot easier from the start.
Oh yeah.
It was.
But some people would say that now you never get to stop working.
No, I'm trying to focus on always. Good.
There is a lot more negatives that I have.
I remember, and then I remember when the iPad Mini came out, I bought one. So I'm like, oh, this is great. I can just carry this around.
Yeah,
with me.
I remember that. I used to love my iPad Mini.
It was great. It was a great little. It's funny how it went from tiny little screens, then the phones have gotten bigger.
Then they went
and
back.
Now they're back. I love. So I have I currently have the iPhone 13 Mini, and I love it. It's my favorite sized phone. It fits perfectly in my hand. I can do everything one handed with it, which is great. I think though, if you're someone who is commuting via public transit and you want to watch stuff on your phone, definitely a bigger phone is probably nicer. But
yeah, I even have times where I wish I got the bigger phone.
Yeah, I very much enjoy the Mini.
Well, besides me having a job, basically, because of smartphones, it's just in general creating jobs, I guess. It's a plus. The other really cool thing is like, especially me, I remember growing up, like the biggest good thing, but it's kind of the internet, not smartphones. I'm trying to focus on like smartphones because I was going to say smartphones help you connect with new friends and communities and helpful resources and things.
Yeah, but smartphones give you that access to,
I guess,
access that and wherever you are at any time.
Because I remember I had that even when I only had it on my computer at home.
Yeah, but now you're able, when you have that downtime, if you're commuting or, you know, lunch.
Yeah, because everybody's so busy. I will say for moms specifically, it's huge because I can't tell you how many times I've needed to like look up something or just feel not alone, especially in the beginning of motherhood when you're up at like 3 a.m. I do remember when I would be up with her waiting, like, all hours of the night feeding and trying to get her back to sleep. There would be sometimes I'd be able to like kind of see my phone from the side, and I would be on these mom communities of other moms that were also up at 3 a.m. just like chatting with each other.
Oh, that's really interesting.
It was nice. That's what I would go. That was my go-to app when I was up with her. Just to
wonder if there's one for dads. Probably not.
I don't know.
Maybe.
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 But yeah, I guess that's true. You can connect easier on the go.
Yeah, they do keep, as far as like group texting goes, I think they're great for that. Me and all my friends are constantly texting each other.
Yeah.
We made the group chat for our fantasy football league, but it's more than that. It's just we're literally talking all like every day, pretty much whatever we talk about, you know, news stuff, whatever. We talk about Elon Musk and Twitter the other day. So it's good because it keeps us in contact, because if without it, I wouldn't know what the heck's going on with these
guys.
That
was my other point, was especially with Melody now, we FaceTime.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
My family lives far away. Even your parents who don't live far away, your dad works, so we don't see him as much, so he can FaceTime with her. Like, it's just...
FaceTime is huge.
Yeah. FaceTime's huge, especially with a kid.
It is.
To feel like you're kind of with another person.
FaceTiming and just video calls in general,
and
having that.
Sending photos.
Yeah, being able to take photos all the time.
Yes. Actually, that's one of my biggest pluses.
Oh, yeah.
Is being able to take so many photos.
My parents, my mom always says, like, oh, I wish we had these when you were kids, because they have photos, but they're with a camera and they weren't carrying.
And you didn't have as many. And sometimes you'd take a bad photo and you wouldn't know until you developed the footage. And then you're like, oh, we should have taken another one of this.
I'm sure I have like five. I probably already have like thousands of photos of Melody and videos.
Yeah, I have to go. I want to sit down and go through them, but it just seems so daunting because there's so much.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that's definitely a huge plus, is having a camera, a very good camera with you at all times, pretty much. Mm-hmm. That GPS, I used to get lost so much.
That was one of my things I wanted to talk about.
GPS in the phone.
Was how great it is to have GPS, and it boggles my mind and drives me nuts when people don't utilize it. When people are like, oh, do you know how to get there? Or which way are you going to go? I'm like, I don't know, whatever the GPS tells me.
That's like, didn't my aunt say she was going to use MapQuest? And I was like, what? For the younger viewers that may not know what MapQuest is, it was before we had GPSs on our phones. You would go on, put like your start and end point, and then print out the directions.
Yeah.
And if you missed a direction, you were screwed, because you're like, how do I get back?
There was no GPS. Yeah. And then we got TomToms.
I had one of those. So funny quick story about that. When I went to college, we wanted to go visit our friends in another college. And so we printed out MapQuest directions. And also, MapQuest doesn't update in real time. So like, we definitely printed out MapQuest directions where they had done road construction and changed the roads since then, mm-hmm. because we followed them to a T, still got lost. I think it was supposed to take an hour and a half to get somewhere, and it took us 4 hours to get there. And after that, and I told my mom, my Christmas gift that year was a TomTom GPS for my car.
Oh, that's funny.
But even that doesn't update in real time either. No. You have to like make sure that you plug it into your computer and update it. But yeah, GPS was a game changer for me, especially in New York City, trying to figure out like where you're supposed to go.
It's just silly not to use it. Not that people, listen, I understand if the older generation knows how to get somewhere. What if there's an accident?
But
what
even
if
I know how to get somewhere and I still use it, even if I know where I'm going.
What if there's an accident, or if there's construction and you're going to, instead of being, and because you're stubborn, you're like, I know which way to go. Well, now you just hit an hour of traffic, which you could have easily avoided if you use the wonderful thing that we have on our phone.
I had the same commute every morning, and I still used my GPS every morning. And there was a couple times where like the bridge I had to take had a bad accident, and I took back roads and saved myself like 40 minutes.
And if you don't use it because you're worrying about being tracked, you're already being tracked because you have a phone.
If you own a phone, yeah.
You're already being tracked. And I don't understand why not.
When people are stubborn about getting Easy Pass.
Oh my God.
They don't want to be tracked. I'm like, do you have a smartphone?
If you don't have Easy Pass, I'm sorry, but you're an idiot.
So not Easy Pass, because Easy Pass is like northeast only. Just a virtual, like a pass that is in your car that pays for you, so you don't have to stop at a toll booth and give physical money.
Every time I go through a toll booth and I see a long line of people who are not using one, I just laugh at them and call them idiots, because I don't get it. Why don't you use it?
The only thing I can think of is if they're out of state and they came and they didn't know. Because some states, like when I was in LA driving and I took the highways and freeways, it's all electronic. You don't need anything in your car. They basically like...
Oh, yeah. They just track your...
They track your license plate. Yeah. And I don't know exactly how they...
I don't know. But for those of you, happen to be listening and you are afraid of using Easy Pass for whatever reason it may be, you're a knucklehead.
You're a knucklehead.
You are a true knucklehead.
And all of these things are a good and a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean,
anything instantaneously.
You have the world at your fingertips.
You have a lot of different opinions, possibly not the right ones or the correct ones.
Yeah.
There's information you need to vet and find out whether it's real or not before you accept it as fact into your life.
It also allows you to be able to contact anyone if there happens to be an emergency. Whether it's, you know, if you're an older person and you fall and you can't get up, you can...
Well, even your phone can sense some of the phone.
Your phone,
that,
your watch can do all that stuff now. Or if, you know, you happen to be taking your dog for a walk and I don't know, maybe you sprain your ankle or roll, you know, hurt your leg and you can't walk, and you can call someone to come get you.
Yeah.
Or we can think of, you know, other, you know, much worse scenarios that where it comes into play. But I think they're just a vital part to our life now in the society that we have. Can you get away with not using them? Sure. You can definitely get away with not using a smartphone, but you're not going to be kind of like in tune with what's going on.
I will say I have noticed that the majority of things that we said were positive had are non-social media related, besides the connect, like finding new people and community. Because even like connecting with your friends and family, it's usually text, FaceTime.
Yeah.
It's not Twitter. No. I mean, I guess back in the day, I used to look at Instagram to see other people's images, yeah, and stories and stuff. But now Instagram's so all over the place. I can't. It's
another great easy thing about them is when you're doing something around your house or fixing something and you're trying to look it up on YouTube, boom, you got it right there with you.
Yeah. You just listen, just in general. Like, yeah. I'm trying to think back in the day, if I wanted to listen to music or something, I would have to get
CD player,
a CD an player, MP3 player, a disc man, a cassette player and carry it around with me.
Yep. So now that could do one thing.
Yeah. That could do one thing. And then if I needed to call somebody, I had to go get a phone. If I wanted to take a picture, I had to go get a camera.
I'm sure we've all seen that picture of where it compares all the things that you have to have separately back in like the 80s and 90s. And now it's all in your phone.
Yeah, it's whether crazy.
It's like there was like a VCR, a camcorder, a cassette player, all these different, a record player, all these things. Yeah.
No, I love my phone. I use it, obviously, like everybody else, all the time.
Yeah.
But I use it for I've been trying to utilize it for different things to try and have a healthier relationship with my phone.
I think like all things, there's a positive and negative, and there's moderation with your phone and what comes with it with social media apps. Importantly is that you can get sucked in. You can get addicted to it. And I think people can absolutely get addicted to their phones / social media. Oh, that's kind of why
I know that are addicted to their
phones. I wonder if they're sitting next to you.
A little bit.
You kind of have, they're together because when you have your phone with you at all times and you have the problem that for me that I know is the second I'm trying to get better at the second I, not get bored, but in not doing something or my mind is free where I'm, let's just say bored, my instant reaction is to open my phone and go on Twitter or Instagram or YouTube. And it's like, why? It's like, I can't control. It's just something that happens without even me thinking. It's like walking when you're just walking and it's like, oh, I'm not doing anything. Let me open it up. Walking from the kitchen to the bathroom, open my phone. I'm like, what am I doing? Why can't I just walk for 15 seconds or 10 seconds to just go to the bathroom? I have to open up my phone. It's like, I'm trying to get better at that, but.
Being more in the present.
Being more in the present. Just not trying to occupy something. Bo Burnham.
Did Bo Burnham get to you?
Quote. No, he didn't get to me, but it's just to say that, you know, these companies, social media companies, they want to occupy the real estate of your time now.
Because they make money.
Exactly. They want to get every second of you. And I get it. And that's, I guess, the getting now swinging to the negative. The negative side. Oh, for sure. Same.
But yes, in general, at this point in society, I don't think we can be without smartphones. And I think it's kind of, like you said, silly to reject. I mean, you can. I know people who got rid of their smartphones and just have like a flip phone now or something that just they can't access certain stuff. And I think that's fine.
Yeah. As long as you can get in contact with your loved ones, your friends and family.
If you're doing it for your own mental health to not be addicted to it, then like, bravo. I've thought about doing it many times.
Yeah. I've thought about going back to this little flip phone right here.
Yeah. But because of my job, it makes it a lot harder.
I actually have
when I'm retired,
I have a reoccurring dream that my smartphone is dead or not working and I have this exact flip phone with me and I have to use it to like text people. It's very weird.
I have so many different like scary points.
Let's go.
And like story. I have one story that's not mine. The rest are going to be mine. Cause I basically Googled scary stories that revolve around smartphones and all of them were ones that I have encountered myself as well. So I figured we might as well just talk from experience. And then I have one kind of creepy story that I could definitely see happening with your phone.
Is one of them how they listen to you and all of a sudden you start getting advertisements for that thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, do you want to keep going with the addictedness of it?
Sure.
Or do you want
to? No, let's go with the addictedness of it. Let's say, cause I'm addicted to my phone. I know I am. Can I look at my screen?
Sure. I looked at my screen time earlier because I have been very, I wrote on Instagram. What?
I'm down 49%. Oh, there we go.
Which week are you going? Let's compare like the same week.
So let's go to last week.
Last week. Okay.
Last week. Yeah. That's
mine was 5 hours and 40.
7 hours and 22 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. So my most used YouTube, which I would not count. I don't count YouTube as social media. I count it as entertainment and work because those are the only two things that I do on it. Yeah. I am working. So that's why that's my most used app. And then also I'm watching a video or listening to something while I'm being productive and doing something else.
Yeah. Mine is Instagram. Ooh. 11 hours and 33 minutes.
I know you
minutes.
Ain't posting anything on there.
It's just mindless so it's
just
scrolling.
Watching other people. Good. This is going to be like a therapy.
Yeah.
A therapy episode. Okay. Because I've been working on this a lot myself.
You know, it's funny. I have my timer for 1 hour a day on there.
Yeah.
So it should be 7 hours. So I'm almost doubling that. Not quite. 1.5 times what I should be.
My second used app is Chrome.
Twitter.
Ooh, you are not.
8 hours.
You are not doing good.
Seven hours in messages? How am I in messages for 7 hours?
You're in messages for 7 hours? That's, it's because of your group chat.
Yeah. In there typing away.
For an example week, because last week was a pretty normal week, I was on YouTube 9.5 hours. Like I said, work, entertainment, not just sitting there mindlessly scrolling. I'm very specific. I always save videos my watch later and then go back.
Yeah,
when
you're
I'm
always watching
it.
Videos when you're getting ready.
Yeah. And then, or downtime. I'm on it doing research for work.
Yeah.
Then Chrome is my second one. I have been on that a lot because I have been researching. I either am looking up things because I'm always trying to learn about something, or I am shopping has been the biggest thing because I needed a lot of autumn clothes from like pandemic, pregnancy, now being a mom. Instagram's my third. That went up because I've been trying to focus on being more personable on Instagram. But again, I've been using it for me to try and figure out like what I want to post on it, and also for posting and then looking up responses. Amazon is my fourth. Messages is my fifth with only 3 hours. Spotify is 2.5. That's because I've been listening to music when I work out. And then
yeah, we're spot third. That's not right.
TikTok. I'm very proud of
this. Wait, this is not right.
What do you mean?
38 minutes on Spotify? That's 100% wrong.
That's how much you do in a day. Yeah, that's right.
I'm working out for an hour when I'm listening to it for more than an hour a day. That's not right.
Last week, you didn't work out as much.
Oh, that's true.
You were looking at last week.
Yep.
So unless you want to do the week before. I don't want to spend too much time on this.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. That's better.
Okay. So the week before is even better for me. So October 23rd to the 30th, I did YouTube is always number one. Chrome is always number two. Oh, messages was number three. Spotify was number four. So again, all of mine are not social media. My first four. I'm very proud of it because I've been getting better.
Want to know my top one for that?
No. Mine first. Five is Instagram. Six is Amazon. I'm on Amazon a lot. Twitter. Then documents to write scripts.
All right, we got it.
The rest is like like YouTube studio tasks.
So this is the 23rd.
Ooh, TikTok, 35 minutes was my average.
35 minutes of trying and tracking you.
Of what? Oh my God. Yeah, I have been very, my biggest thing I've been working on is not getting sucked into vertical video, and it has helped a lot.
Yeah.
You are the opposite. You get sucked in all the time.
So that week, the 23rd to the 30th, 7 hours, 50 minutes, I was sick. That week.
The 23rd and 30th. Well, then go to a week where you weren't sick. You gotta.
But let's look at it. Okay. 16 hours on Instagram.
On Instagram?
11 hours on YouTube.
Wait, for the entire week?
Yep.
Okay. For a second, I was like, the day?
Yeah, I was on it for 16.
Okay.
11 on YouTube.
Okay.
6.5 on Twitter.
Okay.
5.5 messages.
Oh my God.
3 on
what
Twitch.
What are you doing on messages?
Just chatting away.
Yeah. Wait, how much was your total time?
7 hours, 50.
Is that your daily average?
Yeah.
You're on your day for an entire work
when
day's
I was
worth
sick.
Of time? Okay.
It doesn't go back. So the farthest it goes back, yeah, like, look, like that Sunday I didn't use it.
Yeah, because you were probably golfing or camping or whatever you were doing. Yeah.
No, it's a little daunting to look at.
I think you would have... That's why, like, screen time is not equal, is what I want to say. So like when they say like kids, you have to limit screen time.
Yeah.
I totally get that. You want your kids to like be off the screen. But if you are going to have your kid do screen time, I have been trying to get more conscious of, I used to be like, oh, she's having her screen time, like watching a show or whatever. I'm going to have my screen time. But now I'm trying to not always do that. Like if she's having her screen time, I'm talking about our daughter, I want to be involved in that screen time so that it's still like a learning like time for her.
Yeah,
so when she's playing the game, I'm trying to like name things now and to show her what she's supposed to do. If she's watching a YouTube video, I'm trying to like point out, like when we were doing the other day and she was watching Hippo, it's like, yeah. Hippo, like trying to say Hippo.
Saying the fruit that was eaten. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying, like she's still having her screen time and getting her entertainment, but I'm trying to like also have it be productive, not just mindless, but go ahead.
I think the hardest thing for our society right now is learning how to live with and adapt with smartphones, technology, and social media, because we've never been in a time where we had this connection to so many people, so many opinions, and so many distractions.
I also think you need to know yourself. So like, I know friends who have to get rid of the apps on their phone because they will constantly do what you do, like take out your phone and press it whenever
they have a second.
Oh, you can also see that in your screen time. You can see like, what is the first app you open every time you pick up your, how many times you pick up your phone and then what's the first app you open? Mine is always Chrome is the first app I open because I usually don't open my phone unless in my head I'm like, oh, I have to look this up. Oh, what is this about? Like, I just like learning things. So that or messages. Those are my two top, I'll pick up my phone, which is good. That means that I'm only picking my phone up for a reason. I'm not picking it up just to be like, what's everybody on the internet doing?
Mine's definitely different.
Yes. That's something you have to work on.
I know.
I will say, I don't want to be a preacher of like, oh, like she
isn't
on social media. Like my job is literally on social media. If my job was not, I would probably be getting rid of the apps on my phone and trying to only, it's like be conscious about it and only list, like do it on my iPad.
I did that. Like and you know what happened?
You put it back.
No, I did, but.
Oh, you went on your browser.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So it didn't matter. So I'm going to delete my browser.
You either have to learn.
Self-control.
You need not a smartphone. You need to get rid of your smartphone.
It's an addiction.
Or what 100%. You could do is not keep your smartphone on you. Like I know people.
That's what I would like to try and do better at.
Like put the smartphone somewhere so you have to make a conscious effort to go get it and look up something.
That's the thing I've somewhat tried to do.
These are all tips for all of you too.
Yeah.
Like I did a lot of. I was in a very, not bad place, but I just felt so overwhelmed. And I've talked about this on my Instagram. I'm trying to be more open and honest on my Instagram. So if you don't follow me on Instagram, you should. But I was talking about having really bad burnout and being overwhelmed. And I don't think you realize what the issue is until you take it out of your life. And one of the big issues for me was I was literally like, any free chance I had, I was like scrolling through Twitter, scrolling through Instagram, scrolling through TikTok
or short form
YouTube
content.
Shorts, short form content or just tweets.
Yeah.
Like, tweets were also bad. And it was like at the end of those sessions, I would just be like, that time's gone.
Yep.
I did nothing. I don't feel good. I feel if I'm doing it while Melody's awake, I'm like, I could have been spending that time with her. I could have been getting work done. I could have gotten the house clean. Like, so when I cut that out, like, I feel great lately, and I have no idea what's happening. Like, I feel like you're I used to be on top of everything, and now I feel like when I talk to Bobby, he's like, or I'm like, you didn't tell me Elon Musk bought Twitter. Like, I literally said that to you at the table, and you were like, oh, well, I figured you would have seen it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not on it. I'm trying to not be on it. Yeah. I don't care enough anymore about, like, what's going on, like, who's mad at who and what's going on. Like, unless it's a big thing, which I'm going to hear, like, Elon Musk buying Twitter, I'm going to find out about it. I don't need to find out about it right then and there. Yeah. Somebody will tell me.
Yeah, I definitely have a problem. I'm definitely addicted to my phone and social media.
I know, but you're not alone.
Oh, I know.
I know lots of people that are. I just think.
I'm just using this as a therapy session in the sense that. I know
listen
I have
more Bo Burnham. He'll talk you through it.
Yeah, I definitely am trying to be better about it. I've definitely made better attempts at not following Twitter stuff as much and not engaging as much. I've gotten a lot better at not just commenting.
You have
on things,
gotten better at that.
Where
I used to start trying to pick fights with people on the internet.
Pick
like,
fights
why?
Or just put my opinion
like now
out
you're
there.
You're just going to be in a bad mood.
And then I would just be like, why am I doing this? This doesn't matter. I'm not going to change anyone's opinion. I'm not going to debate. So I will say a lot of the stuff I do follow is sports stuff as well. So it is nice to kind of stay up to date on that. But at the same time, it's like, who cares? Why? It doesn't matter.
I was just about to say, well, that's nice. That's like a hobby.
I mean, it's nice to follow my teams and the players I like. But I used to, I think started using Twitter. A lot of it was because of fantasy football, because I realized it before my friends that I could use Twitter to get quicker information and I could go pick up players and change things.
You know what
things.
You could do on Instagram or Twitter is make lists, which I'm also starting to try and do. So basically you make lists of, so that you don't have to pay attention to the noise as much. You can get the info you want and get out.
What I need to do is delete all the reels and shorts and not have that.
Yeah, you are really bad. Like you send me, I should go through with you one night and show you how many vertical videos you send me versus how many I send you.
I know, it's a lot. I just want to share the funnies with you.
I know, but that also shows how often you're on it because I'm literally on it every now and then and I'll send you like two or three from my one session.
You get like 20 from
me. And
then
I get 20 from you that I have to like find time to look through at some point.
Yeah.
But that also leads to some of the other creepy things. Like the reason why you're on it all the time is because they're really good at knowing what you want.
Yeah, the algorithm's got me.
So they, obviously, this is a known thing, or a known thing. People have speculated, even though companies say this doesn't happen, that it's listening to you.
100% is listening to us.
And it suggests products from it. It predicts search. Like things that you're about to search.
Oh yeah, that's the creepiest. When you're talking about something and you go to pick your phone, you type in one letter and it fills in what you're looking for. It's like, all right, yeah, come on.
Yeah.
They are. There's no, we all know this.
We also remember, I remember the first time I really realized it was happening was when we were in Ireland and we rented a car and it was a car brand that we had never talked about or heard of or anything. Yeah. And we were saying the car brand out loud. And then we got in the car and I was getting Instagram ads for that car brand, even though like I don't live in Ireland.
It's like, oh, we just realized you were in Ireland.
But that's another thing. So the phone, I also learned this, that not many people that I've told this know. So the phone tracks your, like where you are. It tracks what you're saying, and this is all speculation, but also backed up by a lot of stories from people and my own experiences. It's definitely listening to you. It also knows where you are. It also knows what people are also in your proximity, what people most likely live with you, most like what your relationship is with people, and it only figures it out based on everybody's phones. So like my phone being close to your phone all day, every day, they can decipher that like, oh, we're most likely either married or living together or like something. And then it also it knows your age. So it can also determine what to give you. It knows your gender. It knows if you have children. That was the creepiest thing.
When
like I got pregnant, I literally didn't like tell anybody. I maybe was searching stuff before.
Yeah.
But then I started getting all these ads. I started getting mail for baby stuff from places I had not signed up for mail for because they probably saw it in their data.
Ads around the world.
But yeah, so it will suggest like there's been times where you might go out and meet people at a bar. And then when you go back to your house and you go on Instagram or Facebook, it'll suggest their profiles because you were in close proximity with them at the same time. Oh, also it will suggest, so say you showed me a video of a creator, it may later show, like YouTube may start recommending that creator because you had played the video while in close proximity to me. So it assumes that I may have seen it or you may have talked about it. There's a lot of different,
Pretty crazy. That same technology is good though because it helps with apps like Google Maps and Waze that have up-to-date time and traffic and cops that are there because people are using it.
Oh yeah.
So
well, that's why traffic and stuff. Things like that don't freak me out. I know it freaks some people out. I think it's a little weird, but like I don't care if they're listening to me. Well, what am
Yeah, you should only care about that stuff if you're doing stuff that
that's bad.
That's naughty.
Yeah, that's naughty. But like, I would rather get, like, we're on the same page about this. I would rather get an ad for something that I would maybe want.
Yeah.
Something
that you're never ever going to use.
The bad side of that is if you have like a shopping addiction or because you can't get away from it, they're always going to be like, don't you want this?
Hey,
you
should
buy this. You had this in your cart and you didn't buy it. I get emails all the time. It's like, did you forget something?
Yep.
And it's like the image of the thing that's in your cart.
I have that too.
And I'm like, no, I didn't forget something. I just decided I didn't want it. Leave me alone.
That kept happening to me with the Yeti stuff. Because I would keep looking at it and put it in a cart and see how much it cost. And I'm like, I don't really need this. And I'd go away and like, did you forget this? Or it'll be like, this product is running low. It's like,
yeah, it always
sure
says
it is.
It always
I'm
says
sure
that.
It's running
or
low.
That is a tactic. Or they'll say like, 10 people have this in their cart already right now. So that you're like, oh God, I need to be like them. I need to have it. I do have a story that I found online that was a little weird that has to do with that. That I found the story online. I was like, what? So it says, 4 years ago, we moved from a place we'd lived at for several years. A couple of months ago, I opened Safari on my phone and was going to search for a restaurant. The autocomplete on the first letter suggested the obituary of our next door neighbor who had passed away 3 years ago, a year after we moved. I was very chat over the fence close to him while we were neighbors, but didn't cope well with his sickness. I never even knew his last name until Google taught it to me in this bizarre autocorrect from the letter R that unsettled me a bit. So what I think happened there was because they were next door neighbors, the phone, like his phone and her phone were in close proximity.
Yeah.
So they assumed they knew one another. So when she went to search something, even a couple years later, like they gave her something from this person that had an obituary. That's weird.
That's creepy.
It'd be like, hey, by the way, your next door neighbor from your old house died.
Yeah. Like, why don't you read their obituary?
Why don't you read their obituary?
That's what you're looking up, right?
Yeah. It's
not Oreos.
But yeah, we watched, I'm trying to remember what that documentary was. It was really good. They basically, it was telling you how companies get you addicted to social media and how bubbles are created. That's another scary thing. That's probably the scariest thing to me is that like social media, I guess your phone and social media in general creates these bubbles for people. And it's been like a big problem because it's like an echo chamber. It creates like a bubble echo chamber where
you interact with
you'll
people.
Hear something from somebody who's maybe in a different echo chamber than you that's like, well, I didn't hear that. And it's like, they're not being jerks. They probably didn't because their feedback, like if you're, let's, I'm not going to go into politics, but let's say like you're a Republican person, you're going to get way different social posts served to you, way different advertisements served to you, way different news articles served to you than somebody who like is more liberal or democratic or whatever. And that's how these bubbles are created, because you're getting pushed this biased information that you already believe in. So of course you're going to be like, yes, this is true. Like, they're not going to push something that you don't like because it's going to make you angry and it's going to, but the documentary was basically saying that these companies know when you're scrolling, you might think you're mindlessly scrolling, but like they are collecting data every time you touch your phone. So if you're scrolling through a newsfeed and you stop at an image for 2 seconds, 5 seconds, if you interact with that image, it knows how long you stared at that image. It knows what kind of emotions that image or video most likely gave you. And then it analyzes its data and decides. So like I've noticed this on TikTok specifically, but if I'm scrolling and I'll see like funny, funny, serious, funny, funny, serious, informative, funny. They'll never really give you like serious, serious, serious. Like they don't want you to get into such a bad mood that you close the app.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So I think when people, I would hope that at this point, everybody is of the understanding that your phone is manipulating you. And if you don't want to believe that or understand that, then there's no hope for you because you can just, there's so much data and information, and just the way you feel coming away from things should give you enough knowledge that your phone And these companies know what they're doing. They want you to be on your phone at all times, as much as possible, giving them as much data to keep you on your phone. Because eventually you might buy something, or if you're not buying something, you're the something that they're getting money for.
Yep.
So like every time somebody's like, well, it's free. Like they, it's not about money for them. It's like, no, then you're, didn't Mark Zuckerberg say that? Or somebody said, if there is no product, you're the product. So
that was what Bo Burnham said. You're the product.
Was it Bo Burnham?
Yeah.
Yeah. If there is no product, you are the product, meaning your data and everything that you do on that app is being sold to other people.
Yeah.
Which again, I don't really care. I think it comes down to like the person. Like you need to understand that these apps are going to make you see the world in a different way than you may have without it. And I think me getting off of that has also helped, because when I was in it, when I was on it all the time, Twitter, Instagram, like was scrolling constantly, TikTok even, I had this negative, bad image of people in the world. And when I went out, I just like didn't want to be around people. I didn't want to talk to people. I was like, everybody's terrible. The whole system's terrible. And I'm not saying that like it's not, and there aren't bad, like there are bad people. The system sucks.
The system but, is like, terrible.
On a day-to-day basis, like in your own community and among your own like friends and family, like things don't seem the same as they seem online.
Yeah, you're not impacted by
I remember I went to Target, I think I told you, and I was, that was like right in the middle of my bad mindset. I like went to Target with Melody and your mom. I was like, I just need to get out of the house. And then I'm like already like, I don't want to talk to anybody. And this nice little old lady just comes over to me and she was like, hi, I saw you got Starbucks and like your daughter keeps trying to grab at your cup. Just like a little tidbit of information that like my daughter uses with her daughter. Just ask them for a cup with ice and a straw. Like that really helps. And then she won't want your thing. I was like, that's such a, thank you. That's such a, it's just like that one little like human interaction
Real of a human nice person.
Like, I don't know what her politics are. I don't know what her religion is. I don't know what she cares about or like, or if she's mean on the internet. Like she was a nice person. Nice. Came over and was just being nice. I was like, oh my God, the world.
The world and our society was definitely in a much more calmer place before all this happened. But there's no avoiding it.
No.
You can't. That's ball is rolling down the hill. You, every person has to be better.
That's where my therapy is talking.
I've been thinking.
It's not about the world.
You can't control.
Usually there's nothing you can. If you can't control it, you can only control how you deal.
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm like, can I just get the parental apps on my phone where I can just use things?
You like, can. You can give me control.
Yeah, I should. I literally should.
Where you, like, I know.
Yeah,
my niece and nephew have to go ask my sister for more time on specific apps. Yeah. So like if they want more TikTok time, they have to go ask her.
Yeah, because I get the thing on Instagram. It's like, you've been on for an hour, 3 hours. I'm like, okay, fine, thanks.
Yeah, so you need...
Thanks for letting me know.
If you can't control yourself, then you need to give control to somebody else.
I can't, and I wish...
But then it's going to be bad because you're going to be... If I tell you no, you're going to be like, it's her.
Delete it.
Delete it. This is dumb.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just I have to get that mentality and... I have to be better for myself to not. Oh, I'm trying to, and I'm aware of it.
For everybody who,
and I am aware of it that.
That's
when I go to grab my phone when I'm doing so. Let's say like yesterday, I went outside with Melody and she was playing with her thing by herself, and I was just looking around. It was nice out, and then I went to grab my phone. I'm like, no, don't grab it, don't grab it. So I'm trying to get better at like not being so like automatic. Grab my phone. It's like, all right, when I think about it, it's like, no, you thought about it, don't do it.
Yeah,
just don't do it. Do something else.
I think that's why I also put out a post saying that I was like getting into growing microgreens. That's why I've been on the internet a lot. Like I'm learning how to, I want to learn how to grow vegetables and like do puzzles. And I don't know. I'm trying to occupy my time with things that are not social media because I know how bad it can make my emotions and other people's emotions and waste my time.
And I've definitely gotten
take moments away from me that I could have been in because I was on my phone instead. Like that's the worst part when, and I'm not, everybody does it. If you're with other people, you're like, I haven't seen this person forever. Like we're going to hang out or even like friends, family, holidays. But instead of like being there with those people, you're being on present. Your phone talking to other people. And then you could be with those other people in real life. And you're like, nah, I want to talk to these other people that like, I could have been talking to, like, it's just weird. It's such a weird, I get it. It's like an addicting
It's addictive
thing, But like, it's so weird that like, if you want to connect with somebody, there's people right there and you're like, I don't want to connect with these people.
Yeah, I hate that. I've definitely gotten better at it. I don't think I was ever terrible with it, but I've definitely gotten better at when I'm around people and with people trying not, you know, not be on my phone.
Yeah.
It's hard. Oh, yeah. It's the same thing. It's that it's
especially text. I've noticed texting was my big thing. Like if somebody texted me, even if I was right busy, away. I felt like I had to get back to them because it was rude not to.
Yeah.
So now I don't. If I can't get back to you in the moment, I do it at night. I make sure I get time after my day is done and I'm laying down.
Yeah. I think I will get back to all you. This goes back to what I said before is that I think one of the biggest challenges facing people in our society now is learning how to live with this, learning how to live with these super powerful pieces of technology that we have at our hands, and especially kids, like,
oh yeah, kids are because they don't know how to,
they don't know life without them. They don't know what it was like, and I've kind of forgotten. Like, I don't remember what my day to day life. What was I doing?
Playing game. I used to play a lot more video games during the day. Also had friends. We had also had a different life, like than we do now,
for sure.
So like we had friends. We had school. We had like.
But then I think I'm like, all right, what were adults doing before? I'm like, oh, they're probably just watching TV.
Yeah, they watched TV. They had hobbies. They would go. They had those men's clubs and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Community activities maybe were more.
Yeah. I mean, their phones are creepy. They're great.
Oh, I do have a little tidbit, too, that I had told one of our friends about and who owns an Android phone. And he was very confused and had never heard of this.
What?
So can we agree that colors invoke emotion? Like different colors invoke different emotions.
Yeah.
You can look for like, sure. If you're in a red, if you're in
like
a
blue, I'm looking at this picture of the sunset behind and that's nice and calming.
Yeah.
This blue is like making me feel weird with all these letters. It almost gives me a headache looking at it.
Does the woods make you
and calm? The woods makes me extremely happy. So like and green, I just want to go suck up the woods.
Greens are more like certain, sorry, this is getting certain blues are calming, certain greens are calming, and then certain colors are not.
Yeah.
So it's known, like there's information that has come out on the iOS bubbles being blue and the Android bubbles being that like
green.
So there was actually studies done that the blue that like, and Apple's obviously a very smart company. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So originally the green bubble, all it meant was that you were sending a SMS message. Yeah. But then it evolved into if you're sending an iMessage, then it's blue, this nice shade of calming, happy blue.
I want to look at it.
And if you send a non-iMessage, so like an Android phone or just somebody not connected to the internet to send an iMessage.
It does look nicer.
It is this disgusting.
It is a gross green.
Green. And they specifically chose that green. They did studies on it. Like, it
looks like slime boogers.
Yeah. It's not a common green. Like if it was like an evergreen, that would be nice. Like a tree evergreen color.
And the contrast of the white on the blue compared to the green on white.
So they've even brought this up that like they need to take this away because it's basically like making it like people who have the green bubbles in school get picked on more often than people who have the blue. That is so dumb to me. Like I understand because kids are terrible.
Adults do it too, though. Like I've seen memes of like, oh, that one friend in the group chat that has the Android and can't get everyone the blue bubbles.
But it's also psychological. Like they chose those colors on purpose because they want you to buy an iPhone so that you can have iMessage and be part of the group, be part of the blue bubble group and not the green bubble group. I will say when I do open a message from somebody who's sending green bubbles, I do get a different, it's like a different vibe. I don't know what it is. It's just the color.
It feels weird.
It's weird, but it's the same. It's literally it's the same it's thing different. As a different color.
It's because it's different. Because I'm sure most people have iPhones.
The majority of people I text have an iPhone.
Yes. Yeah. And there's more iPhone, whatever. So when you are used to seeing that blue and all of a sudden you go to the screen, it's like, whoa, this is different. I don't like it.
Well, yeah. But that's just another way that phone companies are manipulating your perception of
things. I mean, we're all being manipulated by something or someone.
It's usually our phones or the internet.
Yeah. But I'm talking like marketers. The grand scheme of life is that we're all being controlled.
My last talking point about scary things was just like getting hacked.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier with a phone because somebody can either steal it or they can scan your phone, I've heard, like with specific devices, or they can steal your SIM card. They can call your phone provider company and somehow get them to send you a card, which is
ridiculous.
I had that happen to a YouTube friend of mine. It was I worry about that all the time. Because people can have access to your photos because they're on your phone at all times. There's the iCloud, your text messages, just everything. Everything is on, everything you've said to somebody is on your phone.
Oh yeah.
And somebody can see it. Like, there's always access to it, whether you think that there is or not. If somebody wants it hard, like, enough, they will.
Yeah, it is a weird thing to think about how great of a technological masterpiece and marvel these things are, but at the same time, how truly terrible they are for us, and that everything can just be used against us that's on there.
Yeah, pretty much.
It would be nice to go on there and delete all my apps and just have, like, texting, a phone, and I guess maybe the internet. But
did you say what your first, when it says when you pick up your phone, what's the first app you go to?
It's definitely Twitter.
I'm going to say it's messages.
It's definitely Twitter. How do I
see
it?
You think it's Twitter?
Screen time?
You're on Twitter that much? Yeah, it's screen time. Sorry, we're going back into this. Go to see all activity. And then go to down, scroll down.
Pickups. Oh, it is messages.
It is messages.
Messages, Twitter.
So that means the amount of times you pick up your phone. Ooh, I wonder what mine is. Sorry, we're going back in. You're learning a lot about our daily habits of using our phone.
Wow. So that's how many times I open my phone? 161 times a day.
Oh my God.
That's my daily average. What's yours?
94.
That's nice.
Nah, well, last week was 105.
My most pickups was Monday when it was 218.
Damn. What are you doing?
Sick.
Oh yeah, my number, and I do one a lot, is, and my number one is
my friends texting, so like I want to know what's going on.
See, I still have a problem with picking up and immediately doing texts. Picking up, my first app every week that I open when I first pick it up is messages.
Same.
Which means every time somebody, and then YouTube's number two. So
yeah, mine was Twitter, which I'm not shocked at all.
Damn, you gotta get off Twitter. I've barely been on.
Especially good for
since,
you.
Especially since Elon took over. It's just been a dumpster fire of people complaining.
I've been enjoying the comedy of it.
I don't care.
I was really hoping he would delete it. That was I would have been like the ultimate badass troll move if he bought the company and he's like, I'm deleting it for the greater good of society.
Yeah, but something else would come up. Somebody would make
eventually, but that would have been so cool. Imagine that. How good would that have been for
he
everyone?
Would never do that.
I know. Because he loves spent $44 billion on it or whatever. Amount of
that's
billions.
Nothing to him.
No, that's a pretty good amount.
Is it?
That was like maybe an
eighth. He's just got I know nonstop money.
Well, I think he has like over 200 billion.
Wow.
So, you know,
what that's like.
Like an eighth.
That's, we should do, we got to do billionaires are creepy. I mean, they kind of are.
Oh my God. They are the creepiest. Well, could you blame them? What,
yeah,
what would
well,
you do?
You can't relate to anybody except for other billionaires.
You can relate to like 20 people.
Yeah. I will say, like, when you were saying the mindset of adapt or not.
Yeah.
I do feel bad for, like, really, like, older people.
Why?
They can... It's like, why are you going to relearn? Like, I'm talking, like,
60s, 70s. 60s? That's not that old.
To start using a phone?
To start?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, start using a smartphone. Not, right. Not a regular
phone. I understand.
Phone. What do you... Want to be on the, I mean, unless you want to be on social media, I feel like at that age,
like
just,
there are good things to it.
I
you
did
do...
60 years without this thing. I don't need it.
Yeah, no, I don't think, you know, if you're old and retired and whatever.
I'm not
but...
saying you can't. I just understand the mindset of like, that's not for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess 60. No, 60 is the new 40.
Yeah, I don't think 60 is that old. I mean, I would say once you get into your, you know, 70s, it's
70s, 80s.
Seems to be when
like,
most people start.
Like, can you imagine an 80-year-old being like, yeah, I'm going to start using a smartphone. Like, what do you
I mean, some people are good at it. Some, like, there's, like, people who stream on Twitch who...
I guess.
There are. So, that's just... I think this is a good way of wrapping it up.
I can't. I just understand people who never had it in their lives and are now expected to, like, who have no interest in wanting to be on a phone.
You don't have to be.
Yeah, but a lot of times they're like, well, now they're pushing everything digital. It's just...
Yes.
I get it. Like, people who did, like... handwritten stuff their whole lives and stuff, and now they have to do digital. I understand why some of them have no idea what they're doing.
But at the same time, they saw the like
it's the growth of it.
So yeah, but do you remember that news article of them being like, the internet, ha ha.
Yeah.
That's not anything. Like, I feel like a lot of people had that mindset.
But they also, if they're older, they were, you know, older when they saw the progression of it as well. They were adults, so they should have.
True.
But I what I want to say is that, you know, there's a positive negative. The good thing is that, you know, grandparents can very easily contact their children, grandchildren, and FaceTime and go on Facebook and see this and that. The bad thing is they are so easily, you know, can fall to hacks and scammers.
Well, older people and younger people, like especially younger people worrying about like taking nudes of themselves and send it. Like just like dumb. I was a dumb teenager. Like, I'm so glad that I didn't have this access.
Oh, I'm very thankful that I didn't have these.
Because I can't imagine, like, what would be out there that I'd be so embarrassed by. Or, like, who knows? Like, I don't know. Yeah. So that's also a scary thing with the younger people is, like, making them understand the gravity of, like, when you put it out there forever.
I feel like that mindset seems to be more understood now. Maybe 5-10 years ago, it wasn't as much. But I feel like you don't really hear too much about, like, I know it happened. I'm saying it doesn't happen, but I feel like
bullying. There's
cyberbullying. Yeah, I think that's absolutely one of the worst things. But that was happening when I was young. I remember it happening with something with my brother was happening with that.
So, oh yeah, I used to get like people. What's it called? Girls are vicious on there.
Oh yeah,
so they would like come when we had MySpace. It started back then. I would get messages from like people. Like, you hanging out with my boyfriend, he's mine. I'm like, I don't want him.
Yeah. Go I don't for it. Like thinking about it in a big picture. I don't think there has to be something terrible to happen for there to be like a big change, but I don't see any way this progression of smartphones and technology slows down or changes. It'll just be an individual thing. It's happening, people are aware of it, people are better at knowing that they need to be, you know, less addicted to their phones and social media. But I don't, like I said, you have to adapt to it. You can't just be naive. And I don't think there's anything that can be done that these big companies are going to allow to happen. There's no way they're going to restrict it.
It's too much money.
Yeah. Oh, I know. So I think, you know,
it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Yeah. It's hard to tell people, like, don't use it as much. Go outside. So, okay, what am I going to do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? What do you want me to go do?
Learn to be at peace with the world.
Just go out and stare at this.
I try to know. I mean, I'm not a pro in this, but I try to, like, notice little things I find helps me. So if I'm going outside, especially if I'm with her, I'll like notice something she's doing or I'll try to notice how quiet it is. Like when I pointed out the other day when I was out there and I took a video of it because I was like, it is so quiet out here.
You're on your phone. You couldn't even help yourself.
I took a video. It's different. I could have a camera and do the same thing. That's what I think people need to learn to separate is like, there's a difference between using your phone as a tool.
As a utility. Yeah.
And there's a difference between that and using your phone to suck away your time and make you feel differently about things than you thought. Like, yeah, there's lots of times I go on there and something like scares, like they tell me, they're like, there's a meteor coming toward Earth. And then true story that happened on TikTok where somebody said like there was a meteor coming toward Earth and was like fear mongering. And I was like, oh my God, why is nobody talking about this? And then I Googled it and it was like, there is a meteor coming toward Earth, but it's not on trajectory at all to like hit Earth. So I was like, oh, okay. So you just like made me super scared and anxious and nervous for no reason.
We need what I think, just kind of brainstorming, is we need a leader to better talk to people and use technology. We need like a young, influential president. Because I've been hearing is like JFK was like this big influential figure back in the day.
Yeah.
And he kind of like reinvigorated a lot of the people. And I know Obama was kind of like that for the younger generation. I mean, I was in college when he was running and everyone was getting more into it. But we need, whether it's politician or some sort of leader, we need someone like that to kind of almost like set a groundwork for people to like better use technology, better use these tools we have. And there's plenty of good ways to use it. I mean, if you look at people like, you know, like Gary Vee, he's really good at like telling people how to better utilize their time, whether it's, you know, going garage sailing or trying to start a business. And there's definitely good ways to use your time other than just, you know, doom scrolling and going on social media. But it's hard. These addictive things are just there in front of you. I don't know what the answer is besides individuals just being more mindful of it.
That's exactly what the answer is.
But that's hard.
Why do you need somebody to be your parent?
You don't need someone to be your, I said more so you need someone to like guide, show the way, not tell you what to do.
Get a therapist. Yeah. I don't know. I'm giving you suggestions.
It's a good idea.
I'm mansplaining.
I'm not trying to talk just for me though. I'm trying to talk for just.
In general.
In a more general way.
But again, you have the internet at your fingertips. You could be researching like how to, like ways to do. Have you ever done that? Researched like how to detox from social media, how not to look at your phone. Like there's everything. You can learn about everything. How to not look at your phone when you get bored. I have. I've looked
at push-ups.
I've looked at that. I told you, I like to research everything. Because there's so much knowledge out there. Why would you not?
Yeah, that's the good thing about all this and having that is that I think probably one of my favorite things about having a smartphone is that when you have that idea jump in your head, you're able to just go, oh, let me go look it up real quick. Or look, you know, you can just in that moment instantaneously go look it up. Or
I think my most toxic one is something I won't feel well or something is going on with my body and I will research it. Nonstop.
Yeah.
Until like, and all of it's bad. It's just like, you should go to the doctor. You might have cancer. You can have this. But it's also good because it could possibly make you go to the doctor when you actually need to go to the doctor. A lot of the times it's probably going to scare you and not be.
It is a very tumultuous world that we live in, that we have all this outside influence and information out there. And yeah, it's just learning how to deal with it and having such power.
Oh, we didn't even go into if cell phones cause cancer.
I think about that all the time.
I think about it because they told me like when you charge it, you shouldn't have it charging near your bed. And I have this charging, my Switch charging, my Ring charging.
I think about that every day, especially when I have it like in my pocket. I'm like, is this not doing something? But then I heard someone like explain it to me as far as like
the waves. Yeah, that's the one thing I have not looked up.
Part of me feels like if they were bad, they would tell you. But I feel like at the same time, but everyone uses them, so they can't be that bad.
I mean, eventually we would learn.
But there's also just not long-term studies about them. So.
I know, because we're the ones that grew up with it.
Yeah, 100 years
from now. Who knows?
Look at those idiots. They had those radioactive cancer-causing things in their pockets walking around.
They were putting them up to their faces. Yeah. Can you believe
this? All right. What do you think's next? From smartphones? We're just going to have these like the chips embedded into ours?
I mean, that's what it seems like they're going toward putting chips in us. I'm not thrilled about.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't think you should be putting synthetic things in your body. I mean, unless it's like, I guess.
Well, medical. Yeah,
medical. I guess it's fine. I don't know. I won't be one of the test subjects for it. I will say that.
Yeah.
We'll let other people try.
I think I was watching something with Mr. Beast talking about it. And he said once they do, then he wants to get it right away because he'll instantly become one of the smartest people in the world. Oh, God. Because you'll have that such quick access to information. And I don't know.
At one point, are you not a person anymore?
We're all going to be cyborgs.
I always say that's another deep thought I have. Like, at what point are we our phones and the internet? Like, what piece of us is actually
the Matrix?
And what piece of us is that influenced piece of us that's being constantly fed influence and information online?
So like, we should all just destroy our phones and just go back.
Just have a big bonfire.
Yeah.
That's what somebody I was talking to had an interesting theory that they thought maybe a generation or two like past right now.
Was it my brother?
I think it was your brother. Said somebody was theorizing that.
Oh yeah, that
there would come a generation that comes that sees the bad of technology and rejects it.
Yeah.
But that's not our generation so far. So
no.
I don't definitely think it's not gonna be ours. Maybe Melody's, who knows? They'll go back to like
maybe.
I forgot there was something else I was gonna say.
I think you do live a better life more simply. I think the more simple your life is, the better it you'll live your life.
I mean, I've been happy growing sprouts, rinsing them every
I think being and... able to pick and choose technology where and when you need it would be better instead of it literally
that's why I think one
just
of the,
running your life.
I think one of the best things you could probably do for yourself is not have your phone on. If you can not have your phone on you at all times.
Yeah.
Because then it forces you to not be able to do that at any point that you want.
Yeah. One little thing I've tried to do, and I don't know if you noticed now, is I try to take my phone and put it face down.
That's also good.
So when I don't, so especially if I'm at dinner or something, I like to take it and put it on the table and put it away and down so that I don't have my pocket and it doesn't vibrate. I don't feel something or just to like be away from me.
You're going to go through cycles of like being more attached to your phone and have cycles, hopefully, of you not being attached to your phone. I'm in the cycle right now of not being attached to my phone. I would rather not have it on me.
I feel like I'm slowly I'm slowly getting better at it. I think leaving my phone somewhere is probably the best thing I can do right now.
Yeah. And I want to preface this by saying, like, I don't want to sound high and mighty. Like, I did this work and I'm not on my phone. Like, I am. There's definitely days where I get sucked in just like anybody else. And I'm not saying that, like, not being on your phone all the time is for everybody. I know some people, like, who have really bad lives currently, like, that's an escape for them. So don't take this the wrong way. I just think if your life is pretty decent and you're only on your phone to like kill time, you could be using that time to do something that's probably going to make you happier in the long run. That's all I'm saying. Like, there's a place I try to look at my phone in the morning and maybe look at it during lunchtime, like on a normal day, like not a weekend or whatever, but like morning, lunchtime, nighttime. Those are my like social times. So the rest of the day, if I'm on my phone, it's because I have to put something in the shopping cart because we need it in the house, or I'm researching something. Those are like the two biggest things I do during the day on my phone, if you see me on it, or answering text messages. But
yeah, that's not me.
Yeah, I know.
I gotta get better.
I know. Gotta designate time. Then you appreciate it more. Like, I appreciate that time that I allot to myself to be on it. And then what's good is I get all the best information because I wasn't on it. So everything, like my phone saves all the stuff that it thinks I really want to see at the end of the day or the beginning of the day. And then I go through it. And then when I get to the point where it's like starting to suggest stuff, I'm like, I don't care about this. And then I go to the next thing. It's helpful. Saves me time and mental
fatigue.
Happiness.
Oh, yeah.
Mental fatigue. I don't know.
Just gives you
energy. But yeah, that's all I got to say on it.
Yeah, same.
I have a better relationship with right now, but that could change, I don't know, next month. I could be like, oh God, I'm sucked in again. Hopefully not.
Those algorithms are powerful.
Yeah, hopefully not. It's a hard line being a content creator because I have to.
Yeah.
I have to go on to do my work, but then I have to be strong enough to not stay on it. I say for pleasure. Just work, just business. Business and learning.
Well, when Melody goes to school, I'm just going to go golf more and stay off my
phone.
Okay,
there you go. Yeah, find activities. You want to do puzzles with me and grow microgreens? It's been really therapeutic.
Microgreens sounds more fun than puzzles.
Microgreens takes like 2 seconds. You just have to rinse it every day. That's it.
I need to find something else to occupy my time. Besides,
we'll figure it out.
Playing Destiny 2 and going golfing every...
We'll figure it out. You're gonna be okay.
Help me.
But yeah, that's the show.
That is the show.
That was a fun conversation.
It was good. It felt very more just free flowing, therapeutic for me, and realizing how terrible of a person I am.
Oh my god.
Just kidding.
Let me preface: being on your phone a lot does not make you a terrible person. Being a terrible person makes you a terrible person. Getting into vices, yeah. I guess. And remember,
everything is creepy.